Our verse today is Philippians 4:8, and as Jennifer said, I'll say it again. This is the memory verse for the week as well, so you might want to do that. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is truly, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
You know, for this sermon series, we have been looking at the godly wisdom for the new year. And in it, we've been looking at those scriptures that help us to develop those habits for living well. You know, last week, we looked at the most important one. And the very most important one is to focus on God, to seek Him first. And if we do that, then it's amazing how everything else just falls in place. But it's important that we put God in His proper place in our lives first so that everything else is right. And so that's the first habit that we need to develop. And today we're looking at the next habit that will help us to grow closer to God. Now let me just point out that a habit is anything that we do so constantly that it becomes an automatic thing with us. It's just automatic without even thinking. And so it becomes a part of us. It's just who we are. And habits can be good and they can be bad. But hopefully the ones that we're developing are the good habits to help us draw closer to the Lord. Now, I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm not going to be sharing with you anything that you've never heard before. You know all this stuff. But if you're like me, just because I know something's good for me doesn't mean I always do it. And so sometimes we need a little reminder of what helps us to be our very best. And I also want to clarify something at the very beginning, too. Please understand that there is nothing that you can do that will make God love you more. And there's nothing that you can do that will make God love you any less than He already does. God loves you immensely. And it's unconditional love. And if you're a parent, you know how this works. If you have a child, you love that child. Now, they may not always do everything right. You know, there's sometimes they do things that really make you proud. And sometimes that you're kind of a little disappointed. But you love them. And it's the same way with God. God loves us no matter what. And so regardless of how well we do on these habits, God still loves us amazingly. It's just by developing these habits, it brings more joy into our lives and satisfaction and helps us to see the glory of God and experience God more. And so that's why we focus on them. So, if I were going to tell you about a habit that you could develop that would improve your health and reduce stress and strengthen your marriage and strengthen other relationships and help you to be more successful and bring joy into your life and help you to experience God more, would you be interested? You know, it's the biggest influence in our lives, and it's our attitude and our thoughts. You see, our life is controlled by our thoughts. And our thoughts impact emotions. And when our thoughts impact emotions, then our emotions will influence and impact behaviors. And because of our behaviors, then that influences the condition of our life. So our thoughts, if they're positive thoughts, then they have a tremendous impact on the end result, and so much of a better impact than it would be with negative thoughts. But we have a choice. We have a choice of whether we're going to be thinking about positive things or negative things. And it has a huge impact on our lives. And God wants us to focus on those positive things. And that's one reason that Scripture tells us what we should be thinking of. And as Donna pointed out, you know, our memory verse for this week, in fact, pull out your bulletin, and in the box over there, you see the memory verse. And it's Philippians 4:8. And I'd like for us to say it together. If you'll look at your bulletin, and we'll put it up on the screen. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. All right, I know for some of you, you're going, that's too long of a memory verse to learn. Actually, it's only really 8 keywords you need to focus on. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And then think about those things. And let me tell you one other thing to do while you've got that. If you'll take a pencil or a pen, and where it says finally brothers and sisters, if you'll just mark out brothers and sisters, scratch out brothers and sisters, and put your name there instead. So for Tony, it's finally Tony, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. Pam, finally, you know, finally Pam, whatever is true, whatever is noble, what's right. I'll tell you, in my Bible, it's scratched out and it says, finally Kiva, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. Because I want to remember that God personally gave that commandment to me, and He's reminding me that if I want my life to go better, that I'll remember to look for those things in life and to think of those things. And so personalize it so you can hang on to it. You know, for all of us, we know those people in our lives that are just positive people, and they see the good around them, and they have such a joy, and they're a joy to be around. And let's admit it, there's also those people that sometimes walk around with like a cloud of negativity over them. You know, they kind of whine about everything and complain and kind of mumble negative things under their voice. And, you know, those aren't exactly the fun people to be around. In fact, Oscar Wilde has a quote that says, some cause happiness wherever they go, others whenever they go. So hopefully none of us are that last kind. But you know how those positive people are. They make a difference. And we know some people who seem to never complain. You know, their life might be difficult, but yet they never complain. And they just seem to always have something positive to say about every situation and every person. It's almost as if they just look at things and look for the good and the God in everything. You know, I know as a child there were times when I'd want to come in and say something mean or rude about somebody. And my mother would say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Some of your mothers told you that too, didn't they? Now, that's tough sometimes. But let me tell you something. It's not just the speaking it, because the speaking it puts that negativity out for other people. But don't even think it. Because when you're thinking it, you're pouring that negativity into you. Now, sure, you didn't say it to everyone else, but you're still taking that. And let me tell you, when you're thinking negative thoughts, you're one of the main ones that it hurts. Because it often raises your stress level because you're thinking these negative things. But it also, you know, just influences you negatively. And in relationships, whether it's your spouse or someone else in your family or friends or coworkers, the best way to strengthen relationships is to look for those good things. To look for those things that are right and lovely and admirable. And, you know, it's best if we can go ahead and compliment people and point out that we recognize those things. But even if you don't say it out loud, the fact that you're thinking it and looking for it, it changes you. And it helps bring you closer and helps build that relationship. Now, we are where we are because of our thoughts. If you think about it, if we've thought negative, limited, critical thoughts, either about ourselves or about others or just life in general, then that impacts where we are. Versus if we've thought positive, life-giving thoughts, it helps us to experience more. Tommy Newberry is a life coach, and he is also the New York Times best-selling author of the 4-8 principle. And 4-8 really comes from Philippians 4-8. He's also written a book called 40 Days to Joy-Filled Life. And here a quote from him. He says, "We are where we are at this point in our lives because of the dominating thoughts that we have allowed to occupy our minds and hearts. Your emotional and physical health, your marriage and family life, your career and personal economy, as well as your connection with God, have been and continue to be heavily influenced by the quality of your mental diet. The soundest way to improve the quality of your life is to first improve the quality of your thinking." So in our self-talk, we can either build ourselves up or we can tear ourselves down. You know, when we're thinking negative thoughts and complaining about things instead of looking for all the blessings that God has given us, then what we're actually doing is we're keeping this negative cycle going that's blocking the blessings. Because good attracts good. And in the same way, negative thoughts are almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. So whether it's our health, whether it's our job, whether it's people around us, you know, if we're saying negative things or even just thinking those negative things, then we're feeling worse about it and we're making the situation worse. Whereas if we're speaking hope into it and thinking those positive things and those things that are lovely and excellent and praiseworthy, then we're actually making things better and building things up. Yeah, but as humans, we have a tendency often to blame things often outside of us, either something else or someone else. And we're looking outside instead of looking inward to see how our thoughts have influenced things. Jack Canfield tells a story about a man that went for a walk one night. He's walking along and he comes upon a man who's on his hands and knees under a street light and he's looking for something. And so the passerby stops and he says, "Did you lose something?" And the man said, "Yes, I lost a key." And so the passerby thought, "Well, I'll help him." And so he got down on his hands and knees and he started looking and they looked and they looked and went on for a really long time. And finally the passerby says, "You know, we've been looking for quite a while. Are you sure this is where you lost your key?" And the man said, "No, I lost it in the house, but the light's better out here under the streetlight." Stop looking outside yourself for the answers of what's not going on right inside your life. Instead, look at your own thoughts and how you're handling things to see if you're doing the way God wants you to. You know, God wants the very best for us. You know, as humans, He's given us the ability to think and He's given us the freedom to determine how we will think and how we will live our lives. And so we need to choose. And He's given us scripture to say, this is what will make your life better. If you'll follow these things, you know, if you'll focus on me first, if you'll think about those things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, you know, He tells us all that. And my desire for preaching these sermons at the first of this year is because I really do want us all to start this year out well and to have joy and satisfaction and pull closer to God and to experience all God has for us. I want to close today by reading the quote that's actually on the front of your bulletin. It's by Chuck Swindoll. He is a pastor in Frisco, Texas, and it's called Attitude. And yes, I know I gave it to you Thanksgiving before last, but it's such a powerful word, and I think it's great for reminding us how important our thoughts and our attitudes really are. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the string that we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. You know, in order for us to have the right attitude, we need to be thinking the right thoughts. We need to be thinking about those things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. So may we think of those things. May we live the life that God created us to live. May we be the people God created us to be. And most of all, may we experience God in a mighty way. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, we do just praise you that you've laid all this out in your word in the first place to guide us of how we should order our lives, how we should focus on you and how we should focus on the good things in life. It doesn't mean that those bad things won't happen, but you're saying pay attention to the good things and that we have a choice by the thoughts we make of making things better. Lord, help each one of us. You know for all of us where our struggles are. And so we just offer it up to you. And Lord, most of all, I pray that we all offer our lives to you, that you will move in each of our lives in a mighty way, and that we will experience you in a new and wonderful way on this day and throughout this year and for the rest of our lives, so that we might enjoy your glory and give you all the honor. In your holy name we pray. Amen. At this time, we are going to be recognizing our leaders in the church. And you know, let me point out how important it is to have these leaders. Because as leaders, you're really the ones to direct this church. This is really your church. You know, as pastors, we recognize we come and go. But leaders and church members, you make a difference. This is your church. And so want to thank all those that have been willing to make the commitment to be a leader this year. I'd like for all those who are in any leadership role, whether it's on a committee, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or teaching anyway, or you know, any way that you're a leader in the church, if you'll just come up. I know you can't all kneel, but I'm going to go ahead and have you stand and come up and kind of line up here so that we can recognize you and bless you. Let me just point out as they're coming that you have an insert in your bulletin today that gives you all the different committees and all the different leaders. You have their telephone numbers and their addresses. You know, for many of you, you might be involved in other ways, and encourage you to, you know, if you're not serving in some way, we'd love for you to be serving in some way. But, you know, if there's some area that you would like to get involved in, we would more really love to have you involved. But for these that are part of our leadership committee on all the different committees, whether that's finance or trustees or PPRC or our missions or evangelism, you know, doing the AV work, teaching Sunday school classes, we want to do a special installation and blessing of them. And leaders, let me speak to you and just say, this is kind of your vow before God and before this church that you will do what you've been called on. So I'll be going through what's in our bulletin. I think it'll be up on the screen too. But let me ask you, leaders, do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? Will you so live that you enable this church to be a people of love and peace? Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen? And if we'll all join in saying this prayer. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep before them the example of our Lord, who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for us all. Let them share his ministry and consecration, that they may enter into his joy. Guide them in their work. Reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, rejoice that God provides laborers for the vineyards. Will you do all you can to assist and encourage them in the responsibilities to which they have been called, giving them your cooperation, your counsel, and your prayers? If so, please say, we will. All right, let's give them all a hand.